But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace.
The second reading is taken from Luke 2, verses 1 to 7, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is the word of the Lord.
Lovely. Thank you, Peter and Helen Dunstan, for reading. Thank you, Helen Suarez, for leading our service. That's great. Bethlehem, eh? Do you remember the story of the wise men, the Magi? You remember how they traveled from the east and they knocked on the door of the palace in Jerusalem, and they asked where they might find the newborn King of the Jews. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Understandable to rock up at the royal palace, the likeliest place to find a newborn king. Trouble is, King Herod didn't know anything about a newborn king, and he was understandably disturbed because there weren't any new babies in his house. So what is this story? A royal pretender, a threat, another claimant to his throne. So what he does is he asks his intelligence experts for the most likely location for this new king. And the answer comes back, Bethlehem. How do they know that? Well, it's the reading that we've just heard from Peter Strode, actually written by the prophet Micah. That's what the experts are quoting back to King Herod. And Micah, of course, was one of a long line of prophets speaking God's word to Israel. But he lived and prophesied an awful long time before, perhaps something like 700 years before Herod. Have a think for a moment. In Britain, 700 years ago in history, that's actually before Henry VIII and the Tudors. It's before printing, even. It's before most places had clocks. Imagine relying on information from a prophecy from so long ago. But we now know that that prophecy was exactly correct. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But Joseph and Mary didn't live there. They were required to travel down there for the Roman census. The reason was because that was where their ancient family, the family of King David, came from. That was their family line. Bethlehem was David's hometown, where he was a shepherd boy looking after sheep up on the hillside. And God chose him the shepherd boy David to be the great king, ruling over Israel. And David's era was actually the high point of their history. It was the glory days of Israel. And everyone agreed that one day God would send a savior, a redeemer, who would be the ultimate King David, ruling again over his people of Israel. So, of course, it made sense for God's savior to come from Bethlehem, because he would come from King David's family line. Actually, I've only just made the connection this year that David was a shepherd boy in the fields above Bethlehem, and the angels first carried the good news to the shepherds in the fields above Bethlehem. I wonder if the angels wanted to, if you like, prefer those shepherds as the first people to hear. Bethlehem wasn't a major town at all. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Even today, it's still a village. It's maybe famous throughout the world, but it's never grand. Bethlehem means house of bread in Hebrew. David came from peasant stock, and Jesus was a country lad too. Mary and Joseph were humble and poor. Jesus' disciples were mostly backwoods fishermen. God seems to delight in choosing unassuming poor people as his servants. Maybe they have less pride in themselves, who knows? Maybe God's grace is shown more clearly. Most of us, on the other hand, if we're honest, we're very privileged. We went Christmas shopping a couple of days ago, and I was amazed how much choice there is on television, in the shops, and on the internet. We have an amazing variety on offer. Unless, of course, you're someone who has no choice. A homeless person curled up in the doorway of a shop. A family hopping from sofa to sofa, or crammed into inadequate rented accommodation. Those on 0 hours contracts, or those suffering because of the £20 rise in universal credit being taken away again. People whose children are on free school meals and can't afford the TV license fee, let alone a Netflix subscription. Or indeed those who'll be working at Christmas time and on whose labour we depend and whose low pay only just keeps their heads above the waterline of poverty. Choice is actually the gift of wealth, isn't it? Lack of choice, the scourge of poverty. And the gap between those two is getting wider and wider. I was reading that a boy born in Blackpool today can hope to live 53 years in good health. But in Richmond-on-Thames, the figure is 71 years, a gap of 18 years. But 10 years ago, that gap was 13 years. It increased. Far from levelling up, the gap between rich and poor is getting wider. Poor health and low life expectancy come from little or no income, poor housing, little opportunity, and inadequate education. But those who do work in these areas, teachers, social workers, clergy, and many others, are doing an amazing job. Without them, things would be much worse. On the first Christmas day, Mary and Joseph had very little choice. Political authority required them to travel to Bethlehem. Powerless, lack of resources pressed them into the hands of strangers. Jesus was born in an outhouse round the back of the pub. Pride and tyranny forced them into exile a while later. So the story of Christmas is the story of God born among the poor, born alongside those who have no choice. To be true to the Christmas spirit, We need all to work to level up our society and give everyone the choices that some of us enjoy. Christmas unites us. Successive polls demonstrate that most people want that levelling up to happen. After all, we see the effects of poverty around us every day. But we also need someone and something to follow. Someone who can help us make the right choices for ourselves, for our nation, for our world, for the common good. Christians believe, and I believe, that following Jesus will be the best choice we can make this Christmas. So may I suggest that you turn to him at Christmas time. Pray a prayer or two to him. And whatever choice you make, remember those who, like Mary and Joseph walking the streets of Bethlehem, have little or no choice in Britain today.